God bless you. If you ran the marathon today, congratulations. We have a big show. It's a short show today because, you know, there's a debate or something happening at 8 o'clock from Washington University in St. Louis. So we will go right to ABC coverage of the debate at 8 o'clock. But until then, we're guest heavy. This is going to be fun. Comedian Jimmy Pardo joins us at 6:30. And then the folks from the Irish American Heritage Center are going to be here at 7 talking about a fantastic event coming up next weekend. And then because the debate is coming and the country is divided at least in half, there's many segments of people who are all angry with each other, and God forbid we have a civil conversation. We're going to talk to the managing partner of Living Room Conversations, which is a group that teaches us how to have civil conversations about topics that may incite some people. So you know there's going to be a lot of varying opinions tonight as the debate goes on, and the political scene has been rife with anger and just people saying all sorts of horrible things to each other. So we'll try to figure out how we can change that a little bit in advance of the debate. So we've got a lot to do in the first couple hours. Here's something. If you want to get involved, 312-981-7200. You know, of course, that's the number. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody Goff. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois, which, again, one of the most dangerous cities in America. You must be very proud, Cody, that your city is once again topping the charts when it comes to violence in America.
So proud.
Now, when do you think, you know, Chicago has been at the forefront of some of the political discourse regarding violence, and everybody here lives on Hell Street, we all know that, but when do you think Rockford will be pulled into the scrum and the light of national debate shone upon it for its horror and crime?
When it could benefit rich people.
Ah. Rich people don't care about Rockford. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Unless you're in, what is it, barbed wire up there? No, that's DeKalb. What do they make up there? Beefaroo? The CEO of Beefaroo, when it starts to affect his bottom line, then we're going to see it on the news?
I was at Beefaroo earlier, and they were cooking it just for you.
Really?
Famously delicious.
I have, again,
I wish they were paying me for this, but I really just love Beefaroo.
Let's get let's talk to Beefaroo. Let's get him on board for the Facebook Live podcast. Let's do a remote from Beefaroo. That's just a jaunt up. What is it? Up 90? Just
yeah.
Shoot up 90 to Rockford. We do a remote from Beefaroo. That would be fun.
If several
Roger
locations.
Could come,
yeah,
yep. Several locations. Pick the one that's closest or the one that's most picturesque.
Because
you know we would have to do some sort of video from there.
They've got some good decorations.
Do they?
Decor.
Is it all decorated up for the fall,
well,
for Halloween already?
They used to have themes, so there was the fire station Beefaroo, then there was the kind of 70s diner Beefaroo.
I'll pass.
What?
I'll pass on
not
that.
Not a 70s diner
I don't need nostalgia,
guy.
No. Because that always reminds me of Ed DeBevick's, which drove me crazy.
No.
I hate that kind of, I don't need saucy servers, even at Beefaroo.
No, this just has the saucy decor. It's the little old cars and the scale and the...
Like a Shoops?
The shaman woman in the glass box, and she says...
Oh, like from Big?
I don't know. The one that's like, give me a quarter, I'll tell you your fortune.
Yes, that's from Big. I want to be big.
All right.
Me, Tom Hanks, Elizabeth Perkins.
I don't do movies.
What do you mean you don't do movies? Who doesn't do movies?
I don't do a lot of movies.
Do you watch movies? To do a movie means you make them or somehow are involved in their creation.
I would love...
To watch a movie would mean that you view them.
I would love to make a movie. If any agents
you
are listening...
You already did make a movie.
Well, that doesn't count.
Sure. Roger, you remember? Dance Dance Revolution, The Warrior's Path. That was Cody's big movie debut.
Yeah, I know.
It's phenomenal.
It got tremendous reviews.
Sure. By Cody.
Yeah.
And the director.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Steppenwolf? What was his name?
Wolf.
Blair Wolf? Werewolf? Dire Wolf? What was the director's name?
Howlin' Wolf.
Wolf Boy? Howlin' Wolf? Maybe it's Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, the move is so bad, I can't believe it's alive. It's the blues. He's Howlin' Wolf singing the blues about his movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wolfen? No, Wolfen was the villain in Sylvester Stallone, Billy Dee Williams film Nighthawks. Wasn't that Wolfen? Oh, no, that was Wolfgar.
Wolfen.
Are you sure the director's name was Wolfgar?
Yeah.
I don't think he was a villain.
Mm.
I don't think he was directed by a villain. I wouldn't work on a set.
It was criminal. Watching that film was criminal. Let's be honest.
That's true.
So that's, I don't know.
It was rated R. I told you to not see it without parental guidance.
Listen, if I had had parental guidance, you think I'd have ended up here?
Mm.
I haven't had parental guidance since I was an infant.
Mm.
I was left out and raised by wolfens. It was horrifying. Just out in the yard. Me
yeah,
and a,
they
me
did
and
a movie
pit.
About it. It's called Jungle Book.
Right. Me, Baloo, yeah. Shere Khan chased me. I'm still being chased by a tiger. Yeah. I wish it was a cougar, but alas, it's a tiger.
Mm.
Plus, for a cougar to chase me, she'd have to be like 80. So I think that puts you way past cougar age.
Is that a relative? A cougar? Is the term relative to your age, or is
No, cougar was, see, because a cougar is somebody who, a woman who chases a younger man, so my cougar would have to be very advanced.
So it is relative.
Plus, chasing me would probably be problematic at her age, so
you'd
have to actually wait
for her.
Yeah, I would have to throw myself at her feet.
You can't run that fast, so.
I'm not fleet of foot. We all know that. But if she were chasing me in a Walmart, I'd get in a rascal.
A rascal?
One of those motorized carts that I would zip away.
Oh, there you go.
Because I don't want to be caught by a cougar.
Can anybody use those?
Yeah, because I've seen people walk up to them. I don't know who technically is supposed to be in those motorized carts. I don't want to generalize the people that I've seen using them. I'm sure there are people who legitimately need to use them. I have seen some people who probably could do with a walk around the store. That might help them out a little bit, rather than plopping down and driving around the Walmart. But that's me body shaming, and I don't want to do that.
No.
I'm not running for president. I don't need to body shame or grab body parts of anyone.
Is that a requirement for running for president now?
Seems to be. Seems to be at least on one side of the aisle.
Nice transition, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of that, we are going to be doing our version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Cody and I, and perhaps Roger, but he has news ethics problems, so he might not be joining us for this. We will be live commenting during the debate. If you are a Trump supporter, it will probably upset you. So if you like this program and want to continue to like this program, perhaps you skip it or you tune in to see what the other side is saying. But he may make some good points. I'm going into it open-minded.
I plan on making
and open-handed, because I just want to grab as much as I can during the debate.
I'm not going to sit next to you then.
No, I'm grabbing everything while you're sitting next to me.
He's going to grab all the gusto.
Because I'm famous. You know why? And I can do that because you want me to grab you.
I should have thought this one through.
Nope. So at 8 o'clock, when we go off to the ABC feed for the debate, we're going to go on Facebook, and we will be commenting throughout as much of the debate as we can stomach. Or as you can stomach.
Now, real quick, because this happened last week and the week before, actually. I got a couple of Facebook texts, messages on my account saying, how do we catch this live broadcast that you guys do?
It's a good question. I don't know. No, we put it on, if you go to we originated on the WGN radio page, and then we share it on the Brian Noonan Show page. So if you go to either one of those pages, you will see, and we like it when you go to the Brian Noonan Show page,
Course.
But the WGN radio page is a fine page in and of itself. But you go to those pages, and you'll see WGN radio is now live, and you click on that feed, and all of a sudden, bang, we pop up on your computer screen, your tablet, your iPhone, whatever magic box you're using to connect to the Internet, and there you are.
Fastest way to remember it is just facebook.com/WGN radio.
Bang.
There you go. And
that's right there.
Beautiful.
And then you can watch us. You can comment along with us. You can support. You can curse us out, whatever you want to do. But we're just going to have some fun because we figure we're going to be watching the debate. Most of you are going to be watching the debate. Last debate, I hurt my thumbs trying to live tweet through the whole thing. I was having fun, but I'm not a good typist. And on my phone, it's incredibly hard for me to tweet.
I think the idea is if you want to seriously listen and watch the debate, go do that. But if you just want to have some fun with it, Brian and I will be providing a little commentary track.
And remember, we are not journalists. We are entertainers. So we don't have to be fair and balanced. That's for news departments. And yes, we are subtexting. Wait, only one side of the aisle? Yeah.
Well, from you, I'm going to make fun of everything.
I'll make fun of everything,
I'm going to make fun of the people in the audience.
No holds barred.
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of...
But if you're going to be upset that maybe we make fun of Trump, duh. But we'll probably make fun of Hillary, too, if she says something goofy. And we'll make fun of... Who's moderating? We got two moderators tonight, I think. One from ABC, and there's somebody else.
Who are the...
Martha Raddatch. Raddatch. Raddatch.
Raddatch?
Raddatch.
Raddatch?
Raddatch.
The Saiyan?
R-A-D-D-I-T-Z.
The Saiyan?
The Saiyan? What?
That came down to Earth to fight Goku before Vegeta and Nappa showed up?
Watch your mouth.
Wow, where did that come from?
I don't even know what that means.
I have no clue.
For the texture, Bill Clinton is not running for president. He was already president for 8 years, wasn't he?
That's true. Yeah, he was.
Okay, he was president for 8 years, and as far as I know, things went okay. But he's not running.
He can't.
The law says
he cannot.
His wife is running.
Yeah.
But he's not running.
No.
Okay. So, and it's not third grade, so he said something worse than me. That's not really an excuse. But we'll leave that for later. All right, so that's going to be fun. No, Martha Raddatz and somebody else are the moderators. It's happening at Washington University in St. Louis. And
George Washington University in St. Louis. I think there's a difference.
Check.
I think there's a difference.
Okay, but I think you're wrong.
I mean, I don't think there's two different Washington universities, but I
don't believe it's George Washington University.
Oh, is it?
I believe it's just Washington University. But feel free to correct me and be erroneous so then I can mock you for trying to correct me.
It says
you were right
on the video feed, Washington University.
Well,
I know that it's in St. Louis.
That's correct, and I know that as well, but there is a George Washington University.
Is.
It is not the Washington
See,
University.
See, that's what threw me off.
Again, we know from a couple weeks ago that you think I lack intelligence. However, I do know Washington University in St. Louis.
It's my job as a producer to correct you, even when you're right.
It's your job to correct me. Yes, if I'm wrong, by all means. I am not a guy who is above being corrected if I am wrong. However, if I am correct, don't correct me erroneously.
Oh, if you're wrong. Oh, when I printed out the job description, the second page cut off. So that part I lost.
Yeah, if I'm right, you could just let me go.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, feel free to correct me.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Well, listen, I know sometimes the details are lost on everybody. Let's do this, and then there's so much more. Why? Because we're contractually obligated to talk on WGN. Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz are the two moderators for tonight's debate at Washington University in St. Louis. We will, of course, carry that live here on WGN Radio starting at 8 o'clock with the ABC feed. So be listening at that point. Big week for us just having fun. Cody had exciting showbiz stuff. He was auditioning for things. Everybody's auditioning for things here. And Friday night, we decided we were going to go out up on, you know, I rarely come into the city except to work. Either I'm coming here or I'm going to the theater for Tony and Tina's wedding. But we decided we were going to go out for being in October. We went out for Oktoberfest dinner at the Chicago Brauhaus. On Lincoln Avenue, you ever been up there? It's
no. I've been past it a lot of times.
Yeah, but I'm not getting anything for this. They've been there for 50 years, and I became aware of them one day when I was filling in on the Rokon show, and they came in for the Carnarvon Wagon, celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the food at that then was great. So we go up for Oktoberfest, and as you can imagine, everything is very alpiney and German centric. It is great. So there's a band. There's a 90-year-old guy with a crazy mullet wearing knee-length lederhosen, and he was leading the band with this bleached white hair. It was the wild. It was like, you know, Martin Short character. That's
right,
all.
Right.
That Jackie Martin or Jackie.
Oh, the guy did the talk show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Jiminy Glick, but Jackie Child or Jackie.
Yeah, he did another talk show guy who had the New York, had a weird type of accent.
Yeah.
White hair,
yes,
sat behind a desk.
Him. Yeah. But this guy was running the band. So we're having a good time, and they have those little, like, Robin Hood hats that they had kids wearing them. And the waitresses and all were, and the bartenders were wearing all these Robin Hood hats.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to our server, hey, what's the chance of getting some of those hats? Because I'm a goof.
Yeah.
We're drinking big liter mugs of Oktoberfest dark beer, and I figure I need one of those hats to go with. She goes, well, they're $4. All right, bring you three hats. So now my wife, myself, and my buddy, we're all wearing these hats like goofballs. And 90-year-old Augustus Glump comes by to start like a conga line, a German conga line. And he grabs my wife who, if I am drawn to the spotlight like a moth,
mm-hmm.
she runs from the light like a possum. She hates being exposed to any sort of attention. She's the polar opposite of me.
Yep, same here.
So
yep.
They pull her, Augustus pulls her up and my buddy, and they're in this conga line. And, my wife looks pained as they go through the whole restaurant. Then, as we get back to the table, he grabs her arm again and pulls her up for a yodeling contest.
Oh, lovely.
Sure. Now, me, I would have enjoyed being the center of attention because I'm a goof.
Mm-hmm.
There was a look on my wife's face like she was being tortured as she stood there. And then he grabbed a couple more. So there were like seven people who were going to do this yodel contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm howling with laughter because I have no sympathy. And she keeps looking over at me like, please save me. Please save me. And I was like, no, you got to yodel. You got to yodel. So she went up and she yodeled. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And so, she didn't blame you for
misfortune. No, it's not my fault.
Misfortune.
She knew,
I was just double checking.
Right. Comedian Jimmy Pardo joins us on the other side of the news. He's always funny, always fun. He's got a big special event coming to Rosemont in a couple weeks. So we'll talk to Jimmy about that on the other side of the news on WGN. If you don't have anything to do Saturday, October 22nd, you got to head out to Zany's in Rosemont at that beautiful park over there where they've got the bars and the clubs and all the restaurants, because my good friend Jimmy Pardo is going to be there with his award-winning, always hyped podcast, Never Not Funny, which I had the privilege of doing over the summer when I was in Los Angeles. Jimmy joins us now on 720 WGN. How are you, pal? Is he there? There he is. Hi, Jimmy.
I'm on a cellular telephone.
A cellular telephone. There you are. Sorry, I had some technical difficulties here.
And you know what? I was just trying to apologize to you and the listener. I'm on a cell phone. We could not have been more clear that you were we were going to talk at 6:30 Central.
Correct.
I chose to think that was going to be 6:30 Pacific, and and then I panicked. I'm now off to the side of the road, doing the best I can to get by like everybody else.
Listen, you sound great as always. So this is exciting. Every time I read the accolades that have been heaped upon Never Not Funny, I'm first of all very proud of you, and second, I can't believe that you allowed me to be part of it for an episode over the summer. But it's not just the content of the show and the guests and your ability to host it, but the fact that you've taken Never Not Funny in a direction to actually help people with your podcastathon and Smile Train, and forgive me if I embarrass you, you've raised over $500,000 for Smile Train just through the podcast.
Thank you. It does not embarrass me. I'm actually very proud of it. We've raised, I think, close to $830,000 at this point, I think.
That's amazing.
In fact, we just celebrated, it was, National Smile Day or International Smile Day on Thursday, I believe it was.
Okay.
And so we raised some more money that day. You know, that all goes into the hopper, and, you know, we take our 90% off the top, and then the kids get the other 10%.
For the six people who haven't heard of Never Not Funny, you were one of the first guys getting involved in podcasting back in 2006. And, I mean, you admit this yourself. You didn't know what podcasting was back then. Most people didn't know what podcasting was. And now you've turned this into a cottage industry that has taken over the internet. It's quite amazing.
Well, I you're giving me way too much credit. By the way, I fear that maybe my connection hurt me. I said we take 90%, then give 10% to the charity.
Well, that's what I meant by turning it into a cottage industry. You're bilking the public out of charity money.
It was horrible. The fact that it didn't come across like, oh my God, I'm going to get emails and calls from people thinking that I'm running some sort of a Trump scam here.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get political on you.
No, please do.
But we're very lucky with Never Not Funny. We did, like you said, we got in early and we built up this terrific audience and other people like Hardwick and Marin and get the the president and other Paul McCartney or whatever the heck they're getting. But you know what? We built it on this rate. I've introduced a lot of people to, Pat Francis, who people weren't aware of. Even Paul Tompkins, when he first came on the show, people knew him, but they didn't really know how great he was, you know? And then John Hamm is the one that, he gives us credit that, Never Not Funny let the world know how funny he was.
Well, that's it, because you would just think of him as a dramatic guy from Mad Men and his other roles, but there he got to unleash.
He did, and I think it even opened his eyes a little bit to the fact that, like, oh my God, I can have fun and riff and be, hang out with these great, funny, acclaimed comedians and stay right in step, if not even ahead of some of them. He's so great, and so I'm lucky. It's been we've been doing it for 10 years now, and we did a live show in Chicago, I think 5 years ago at the Congress Theater.
Okay. Yeah, that was part of a festival, correct?
No, it was not. That was one off. It was like, I believe, the coldest day in I think it's in the top 10 coldest days of all time in Chicago.
Nice.
And we were at the Congress Theater, which I think seats, 5,000 people. I don't know what it seats. It's big. And we filled about 10% of that.
Okay.
it was very strange because I had seen concerts there in the 80s. I saw Paul Young there and I saw somebody else. I forget who it was. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to the Congress. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, why are we going to the Congress?
Well, listen, you got to aim big, right?
You aim big. And I like to think of myself as a velvety-toned crooner like Paul Young was. So it was perfect for my pipes.
Well, your tones have been described as dulcet.
So, well, first of all, I don't know what that word means, but I will take the compliment.
It was meant as nothing but a compliment. You get a lot of big-time guests now, famous comedians, actors, things like that. How did that evolve? Because I'm sure 10 years ago, when this whole thing started, you're getting your friends on and all of that, talented people, but now it's gone into another tier. How'd that evolution happen?
You know what? You're exactly right. Like, the first year was nothing but friends, and then maybe even the second year was, too. And then... I said, you know, again, I keep giving the credit that once we had John Hamm on, and then we had Conan on pretty early too, yeah. Conan O'Brien. And once we had those two guys on, it seemed to open up the doors to other, like, publicists took us seriously, and then we were able to start getting they still were kind of my friends, but they were famous, like John or Conan, or Andy Richter, and then eventually we started branching out. Once we started Podcastathon, and then we started going to publicists and asking for help with celebrities so we could raise more awareness for the charity,
mm-hmm.
Then that was like, well, they can't do that, but they'll do your show another time. And so that kind of led to us booking more and more famous people. And, you know, we kind of straddle back and forth between still having just my friends on,
right,
who are amazingly funny, and the occasional celebrity. Like, we had Jerry Burns on this season. We had John Cryer on. David Steinberg came on recently, and so, you know, we're still doing that, but at the end of the day, I think it's still one of those things where people like hearing me riff with my friends.
Yeah, though the latest episode with Paul Gilmartin was hilarious, so it's a nice mix.
And I try to make it, I appreciate you saying that, I do try to make it that way, where, you know, and sometimes people like Paul or, you know, we'll get lost in the mix a little bit because I'm just so comfortable with them that it's like, oh my God, we haven't had Gilmartin on in a year and a half. That's insanity. And
right.
Then we got to get him back on, and we did, and people you know, respond nicely to it.
Is there somebody either for the Podcastathon or Never Not Funny that is like the white whale for you that you've been trying and trying, and for whatever reason they keep denying you or just they aren't available?
Well, I think the one for all of us is Albert Brooks. I know everybody wants to get Albert Brooks on.
Okay.
And he keeps saying, no to Eric. He did Adam Carolla's a few years ago when he had his book coming out. So everybody thought, like, here we go. Albert Brooks is going to make the round. And apparently he didn't have as much fun as we all think he would have.
Oh.
So, and maybe I'm putting words in his mouth through 19 publicists, but he doesn't want to do any. He doesn't think he's interesting, which I think we could all agree is an insane thing for him.
Yeah, that's probably wildly inaccurate.
But I think he's the one, you know, Tina Fey, we came close with Tina one time, and Jon Stewart we came close to once, and, you know, they, you know, people have lives, and,
sure.
You know, when they have time off from their TV shows, and you know this as well as I do, I mean, you're a big time theater guy now.
Oh, listen, I'm lucky to be here tonight.
Well, I mean, right, you want to take the time off?
Exactly.
So I don't fault anybody where they, you know, they're not in production. And so those are the ones, I think, yeah, Albert Brooks and Tina Fey, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody.
Sure.
I mean, you know, greats like Don Rickles or whatever, but Don, we got close to Don once for Podcastathon, and then he couldn't do it at the last minute, and the publicist said he just is getting too old to leave for this sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's the danger with guys like Rickles. You really want to talk to him because you know, and I'm not being morbid, time is probably short.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. You don't want to be morbid. And it's kind of like you want to go, come on, Don, do it now.
Right.
Love of God, do it now.
What are you waiting for?
But then, you know what, the last time I saw him, I think it was like one of his last Lettermans. It was like, oh, I get it now. He can't. We're lucky he shows up anywhere. I mean, I mean that in a complimentary. That,
yeah.
That we're lucky he does it.
It's rough. Now, speaking of guests, you're coming in to do the two live Never Not Funnies at Rosemont. People who listen to the show know you've done these. You do these all over. You were just in at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival. You taped some in Burbank at their comedy festival. You're going to be going to Utah to tape some of these. Is there a difference when you do the live podcast tapings than what we hear on a regular basis on Never Not Funny?
You know what there is, and you know this doing radio as long as you have and then also doing stand-up, is in the live environment, you kind of chase the joke a little bit more than you would in the studio.
Right.
You know, in the studio, you're talking and you're making each other laugh, and you're assuming that everybody at home is listening along and laughing along. But in the theater or in a comedy club, wherever we're doing the show, you kind of, for me anyway, the stand-up instincts kick in, and it's like, oh, man, we haven't had a laugh in a minute, which is normal because you're just talking.
Right.
But as a stand-up, you kind of want that laugh and you want to get that feedback. And you kind of have to remind them, you know, Matt Belknap, my co-host, and I, we have to kind of remind ourselves each time going in, like, they came here, they want to see this. You know, relax a little bit. You don't have to chase the laugh. They're here because they love you. So,
right.
You know, settle down.
Yeah, they're fans. They're fans already, so they know what you're going to do. But you're not just, it's not just going to be you and Matt. In keeping with your fine guest list, you're doing one show at 1:30 and one show at 4, and you have a big guest lined up for each one.
We do. We are lucky to have Bill Leff is on the 1:30 show.
I've heard of him. He's very funny, that Bill Leff guy.
Bill Leff is, I believe he's right there on your station, is he not?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he is. He's on from 9 to noon and then from 1 to 3 with Wendy Snyder.
And I maintain that the early shift is better than the afternoon, but I'm alone in that.
So, well, they get Logie from lunch, Jimmy. I'm not going to lie to you. They always eat a huge catered lunch, and they're sleepy for the last 2 hours.
They get the catered lunch because they're the big-time show there on the station, and they deserve it.
Sure. We're going to order Domino's later. So that's how that works out.
My son and I are going to have Domino's as well.
great minds think alike.
We're very lucky to have Bill Leff. And I've known Bill since high school. Bill's one of the reasons I started stand-up. And Bill's never done the show, and very grateful that he had the time. He's going to have the time to come by for the 1:30. And that show is actually sold out, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
And then like, that one sold out so quickly, like within hours that one sold out. So we added a second show. And we are lucky enough to have, you know, radio legend Steve Dahl join us for that show.
Wow.
And,
he's a guy we both grew up listening to.
Exactly. And so, like, so to kind of go back to your white whale thing, he's one of those guys that, you know, growing up and putting the Skylab helmet on and doing, having a Disco Sucks t-shirt and doing everything like, you know, that Steve and Gary were doing. It's like, if you told me one day that I'd be doing a show and I'd be able to ask Steve to be on it, he'd be my guest. He'd be like, that's insanity.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to have Steve on there. And you know, I know that there's rivalries and stuff there in Chicago, but I mean, he is a legend. And listen, if Wally Phillips were still alive, I'd have him on too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy's made his, and he's also now in the podcasting realm. So I'm sure he's, you know, curious about how, you know, how it works, how you've done so well with the way you do it.
It's, you know, what's interesting when you say that, Brian, whenever Steve and I talk, and we don't talk a lot, you know, I guess I call him a friend, and I'm about to call him a friend, but, you know, we're not as close as like you or I or whatever, but, you know, he hasn't consoled me after a horrible breakup while I'm crying right here.
Well, listen.
It gets out in wherever we were, Southern Illinois. But whenever I do talk to him, it's interesting when we do talk shop, quote unquote, and it's like, why is Steve Dahl asking me about how to do radio? Like, it's so bizarre to me, you know. And but you know, we talk about it because he, you know, he started a pay model around the same time that I did for podcasting, so we kind of were able to relate a little bit that way. Like, oh my God, was this a huge mistake? And now it turned out it wasn't. We started it at the right time, and so it's neat. And I'm really looking forward to having Steve on the show. And again, after, like you said, after listening to him so long, is, you know, from the 70s and
right.
And then, you know, I've been lucky enough to be a guest on his show a couple times in the past few years. And it's going to be a thrill.
A couple of legends on stage together.
OK,
I throw that out there. I'm going to leave that out there for everybody to debate back and forth. Before I let you go, Jimmy, I know you'll be watching the debate while you enjoy some Domino's pizza with your son. Any thoughts on the last couple of days, or which way are you leaning? If you don't mind me asking,
I will quote Donald Trump. It's been an interesting 24 hours. he used a phrase about grabbing that you and I are both men that have spent some time in locker rooms.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever. I can safely say I've never heard that phrase in my life. But I've heard it 75,000 times in the past day and a half.
Yes, now it's part of the lexicon.
It's bananas. It's like, so to say it's just locker room talk, and I guess you and I may know some guys talk that way. I was never a fan of talking about conquests or talking about women like that. In fact, it nauseates me, but I'm interested to see what happens at this debate, which Donald Trump is going to show up. And you know, I don't know if you know this, but I had the pleasure of meeting Hillary Clinton a couple of weeks ago.
I did happen to see a selfie that you posted. You were in quite a state of euphoria.
I was... I said hello. I was at a function where she was there, and she gave a terrific speech. And then she went around and met some people. And I was lucky enough that I was one of the ones that she said hello to. And she said hello, and I said hello. She said nice to meet you. I said nice to meet you. And then she said, do you want to take a selfie? And I went into a panic and got my phone out and fiddled with it. And, you know, I wasn't prepared for that. And then I took a picture where it's kind of my head in the background and kind of three quarters of her face. It's like the worst picture ever, but it's the greatest.
But you know who it is. There's no mistaking that it's Hillary Clinton and you.
And me, and, you know, if all goes well, in my opinion, hopefully everybody's kind of leaning this way these days, you know, the next president, and I think it's kind of cool to have a picture of me and the president, because I know I didn't get one of me and Woodrow Wilson when I had that opportunity.
No, and so. That was a shame. It just took so long to set up the lithograph and everything, it really became cumbersome.
Brian, he said you want to take a selfie, you know exactly how long that takes to get back in those days.
4 hours and 28 minutes.
And by that time I set it up, he's gone. Long gone.
The Secret Service has whisked him away.
Sure have.
Well, listen, everybody needs to get to Zany's Rosemont on Saturday, October 22nd. The 1:30 show featuring of Never Not Funny, featuring Bill Leff as the guest, is sold out. You can't go. But you can go at 4 o'clock to see Jimmy Pardo interview radio legend Steve Dahl as part of a live Never Not Funny taping. You can go to Zany's.com to get your tickets. You can go to JimmyPardo.com to get all sorts of information. And, of course, for Never Not Funny, you can go to Pardcast.com and you can listen to some. You can join up, pay the price, be part of the Players Club at podcast.com and contribute to Smile Train. It's all a lot of good work, Jimmy. Always very proud to know what you're up to and to get to talk to you. It's very exciting. And Molly, my daughter, still owes you a great debt. She's always very very thankful when your name comes up. So,
well, that was my pleasure. And by the way, I'm going to throw that back at you. I'm thrilled to see the reviews you're getting for Tony and Tina's wedding. It's much deserving.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Have fun when you come to town. Do me a favor. Bill Leff is, there's a problem with his wardrobe. The word is out that he wears a lot of jorts. It became a big thing on the air the other night, and you might just want to counsel him. You're a snappy dresser. Give him a few tips.
I will do so. He's been wearing that, sadly, since high school. Nobody will not listen.
I don't understand it. But listen, maybe you can do something when you're taping Never Not Funny at Zany's Rosemont on Saturday, October 22nd. There, we got another plug-in, just like that.
Thank you.
Slid it right in. Jimmy, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, pal.
Take care. That's Jimmy Pardo. Go to JimmyPardo.com and Pardcast.com. Get your tickets at Zany's.com. We'll do this.com. You know what will make you happy? Going up to the Irish American Heritage Center. No matter when you go, you will have a good time. But you need to go October 10th through the 14th because that is when the IBAM Festival is taking place. What is IBAM, you ask? It's a celebration of the best of Irish books, arts, and music, and is also a fundraiser for the Irish American Heritage Center. And here to tell us all about not only IBAM, but the center itself. Cliff Carlson is here. He is a board member of the Irish American Heritage Center and co-producer of the IBAM event. Hello, Cliff. How are you?
Hi, Brian. Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you again. He is also the publisher of Irish American News, which is a fine publication. Even if you're not Irish, you would enjoy it. And Kathy O'Neill is here. She handles all the publicity for the Heritage Center. She is a wonderful resource for all things Irish at the center, and she's always cheery when she's here with her back to the window so nobody can look at her.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Now, all right. Cliff, IBAM, Irish books, arts, music. How'd the festival start, and what does it encompass?
8 years ago, we went to the center, my wife and I, with this idea to use the entire Irish American Heritage Center. And as you know, it's an 86,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
It's 4 stories high. It's an old college. And usually the events that go on there are only going on one floor.
Right.
So, and it takes a lot to maintain an 86,000 square foot building and 2 parking lots. And so we said, why don't we come up with a really cool event for the place where we push Irish authors and their books, Irish artists and their art, and Irish musicians. And Kathy said, well, we can't just call it BAM. Books, art, and music, we got to call it IBAM. So,
look at her with the marketing genius.
Yeah, we came right out of that.
No, his wife, Kathy.
Your wife, Kathy. I apologize. Well, look at the marketing genius on your wife, Kathy.
We came right. She doesn't take credit for anything, this Kathy that's with us here.
No, she doesn't.
But we came out of that meeting, and we did our first IBAM in 100 days.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It was great fun and a lot of hard work. And now we're in our 8th year.
And you're getting, there's a lot of wonderful local and regional Irish artists and authors and musicians, but you're bringing in international artists and things as well, correct?
Yes, we are. We're bringing in 4 authors. 3 of them are from Ireland this year. Ken Brune is famous noir writer. He's written 53 books, and he's getting the IBAM Award for Literature this year.
Nice.
We're bringing in a fellow named Turtle Bunbury.
I don't think that's his given name.
It
is. You think that was his birth name?
No, Turtle? I found out yesterday it's not his given name, but I love it because how many people do you know named Turtle?
Just the kid from Entourage. That's it.
He's great.
So, I know two.
And then there's Ruin O'Donnell. He's coming in, and he's written a book on Patrick Pearce, which is one of the people from the 1916 rebellion who was put to death during the rebellion, and one of them that helped make Ireland free like it is today.
That's fantastic. Now, it all starts with a big gala dinner. And explain, because you're honoring people from all the different avenues. You're honoring people from the arts. You're honoring people from media and from visual arts, music. You have a person of the year. Tell us about that, because people can still get tickets to this huge gala.
That's right. That happens this Friday, October 14th, coming up. And we're honoring, for performing arts this year, we're honoring Brad Armacost. He's a local actor who's done TV, radio, film, and theater. He's had 15 Jeff nominations, and he's won 5.
Oh, geez.
So he's getting the performing arts this year. And Ken Bruin, like I said, is getting the Literature Award. A fellow named Tommy Fleming from Ireland is getting the Music Award. And our visual artist this year is Jim Fitzpatrick. And if you're familiar with the Che Guevara,
that t-shirt. Yeah.
That's his original artwork.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's very
cool. That's amazing. An Irish artist is well known for a Che Guevara print.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Well, Che was half Irish.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cody, we learn a lot on this program. It's all about edutainment.
We've got, for media and journalism this year, we're honoring Joel Daly.
Ah, okay. Everybody remembers Joel
Daly.
Joel's
very Irish, and he's very honored to come, and he'll be there that night.
That's going
to
be great.
And then we're really proud of our person of the year this year. He's a local fellow who's been teaching on the South Side. He's been teaching law for over 50 years, and he's still teaching. His name is James Fitzgerald.
Wow.
And we saw him on
Irish.
We saw him on your news station, the television station.
Okay.
And the committee, as soon as I presented it to the committee, they said, oh, yes, perfect person of the year.
Yeah.
So we're honoring him at the event that night. The Heritage Center is at 4626 North Knox at Wilson, and it has its own off-ramp on the freeway, the 94 there.
Yep. And easy and parking on both sides, which you don't find at many venues. So it's easy to park, easy to get to. You can drive. You can take the blue line. You can just jump around.
That's right. You can take the blue line, and you can drive, and it's free parking.
Free parking, you say.
So
that's enough to offset any other cost. Well, the whole festival, all of IBAM is free. Not the gala. The gala, you have to buy a ticket because there's big shots there. And you have to wear a suit.
True. And most of IBAM is free. We do have concerts on Saturday night and Sunday night that aren't free. But the whole day programming, and I mean the program goes from noon to 6 both days, is free. We're showing a movie called Older Than Ireland, 30 Centenarians. We'll be talking about how Ireland has progressed since 1916.
Oh, wow.
It's a documentary that's won many awards, and it's been shown around Chicago where people had to pay to go see it. We're showing it both days for free.
Is that right? That's very nice. And tell us about the concert on Saturday.
We have a great concert with a fellow named Paddy Holman. He's an Irish tenor from County Cork in Ireland, and it's called I Am Ireland, and it's based on the songs, the rebel songs from 1916.
Oh, that's great.
And he's over in Ireland performing it right now, but he'll be here next Saturday to perform it at the center.
And IBAM runs October 14th through the 16th at the Irish American Heritage Center. We'll get back and we'll do some more of the of what's coming up, and then we'll talk to Kathy about more things that are happening at the center and why this is such a great fundraiser and a great way to support a wonderful place. Tell me before we go a little bit about the Master of Ceremonies for the gala event.
We picked a new Master of Ceremonies this year. Her name is Siobhan O'Connor, and she's been working on her dad's Irish radio show called The Michael O'Connor Show since I bought this newspaper back in 1991.
Okay.
And she's running it now. And she's really quick on her feet and has a fun show. And we decided, hey, Siobhan, would you do it? And she stepped right up and said, I'd be happy to.
Can you ask her how many ways there are to spell Siobhan? Because I've seen it spelled about 18 different ways, and I can say it perfectly. I can't read it to save my life. Even as I was looking at the information, I was like, there's too many N's in there, and there's a couple extra vowels. I don't understand it.
It's one of those few Irish words that you could actually probably say when you read it, no matter how it's misspelled.
Yeah.
But it's there must be 10 ways to spell it.
Yeah, it's very, very crazy. Cliff Carlson is here. He is the co-producer of IBAM Chicago, which happens at the Irish American Heritage Center October 14th through the 16th. The Irish American Heritage Center, of course, as Cliff said, 4626 North Knox in Chicago. You can go to IBAMChicago.com and get all the schedule of events. There's a lot of wonderful stuff. We'll talk more to Cliff and more to Kathy O'Neill, who handles all the PR for the center. On the other side, it's 720 WGN. They are hosting IBAM, a celebration of Irish books, arts, and music. It happens next weekend, October 14th through the 16th at the Irish American Heritage Center. You can go to IBAMChicago.com to get the full schedule. Cliff Carlson is here. He's one of the co-producers of the event, as well as a board member of the Irish American Heritage Center. And Kathy O'Neill is here. I don't know her official title, but if you want to know anything about the Irish American Heritage Center, she is the woman to talk to. Thank you both for coming in. So, Cliff, let's go back to the gala real quick, because I think this is a very exciting event. And when the center puts on these big gala events, they're always done real well, because if you haven't been to the center, the room, the banquet room upstairs that people use for weddings and all that, it's a gorgeous venue. And so not only are you going to get to see these wonderful people honored for their contributions to visual arts and journalism and all these other things, and have a wonderful host, you're also, there's a live auction, an auction for some wonderful things to help raise, and it's all to help raise money for the center.
Sure. IBAM is a nonprofit, and it's designed to raise money for the center and help the center continue. So we do a live auction there, and we auction off some great things. We've got a cottage in Dingle for a week. We've got another cottage in Listowel for a week. It's actually an old manor that they'd be staying in.
Wow.
We have a B&B for 4 days in Ireland as well, courtesy of Tourism Ireland. So there's a lot of great things that we auction off that night. It's a lot of fun.
So it's a wonderful event. You can get your tickets. And listen, if you're Irish, you could become a member of the center, and then you save some money on your tickets, which is I was going to say a great scam, but it's not a scam, because you get to save money on all the events, right, Kathy? If you become a member like I did, you get to save money on all the events at the center.
Yes.
It's a great deal.
We do. We have about 100 programs per year.
Yeah.
And so you do get a discount on a lot of our concerts, mm-hmm. and Irish Fest and things like that. And also if you wanted to have a wedding there
but I might want to, I like the venue.
She might be listening in.
Yeah.
But I do want to add that Brian Noonan is the MC for the Irish American Hall of Fame Gala that we have every April, and he's really funny.
And that's a wonderful event, too. I'm hoping to be asked back, because I had a wonderful time, and I'm eager to see who. I've done it 2 years, and each class has been more impressive than the last. And that's not to denigrate the class that went before, because you say, oh, my God, these people are wonderful. How are we going to top them? And then you top them every year.
We hope to ask you back. I think you had a run-in with the Archbishop, didn't you?
Now he's going to be a cardinal, so I may be even more on the outs than I was a couple months ago. Yeah, he didn't appreciate my humor.
He didn't crack a smile at all.
Not at all. I don't know if he didn't appreciate the humor or he wasn't listening.
Let's just have him back and try again.
Right. Maybe I'm more respectful in front of a cardinal. Maybe that's it. Maybe an archbishop doesn't hold enough sway with me. I don't think that's the case. I thought I was very, very respectful of the archbishop.
I would like it if he would come to see you in Tony and Tina's wedding and sit in the front row and not smile.
Oh, well, listen, he's very good at that. He's got a lot of really important things on his mind.
Yes.
My gibberish is probably, if not the bottom of his list, second to last on his list of things he has to concern himself with. So that's got to be... How much does it, and you don't have to give me an exact number, but it's got to cost a lot of money to keep the center up and running. That, as Cliff said, that is a huge venue. It's a four-story building.
Yeah.
You've got a bar in there. You've got music going all the time. You've got a beautiful museum, genealogy, all sorts of stuff. It's got to cost a lot.
It's a full city block, and it looks like Hogwarts from Harry
yes.
Potter. It's just a big old beautiful building, and it's hard to heat and hard to cool. But we have so many great programs, and again, anything from Irish Fest in July, which gets as many as 15,000 people,
that was phenomenal,
to a lecture or mm-hmm. a poetry reading. And I wanted to mention last night, a bunch of our musicians and storytellers, we had a sold out night at the new Steppenwolf's performance space.
Congratulations.
They've opened up an 80-seat theater, and it's called the Lookout Series. And
okay.
so eight of our writers, including myself, went and told 7 to 10 minute stories, and
Whoa.
We had lots of musicians play. So we were happy to take what we do at the center out to a larger audience, and we're very proud of it.
And we know the website for IBAM is IBAMChicago.com. Tell people the website for the center.
Sure. It's www.irish-american.org. And I did want to mention one really great other event we have coming up. On October 22nd, accordion player Jimmy Keane, he is going to be giving a talk and a concert. He's a accordion player, but he used to be a laborer, and his dad was a laborer. And he's going to be talking about the history of Irish labor and music in Chicago.
Very nice. And even if you're not Irish, you would love any of the events up at the center. It's a great place. During Lent, the fish fry is unbelievable. There's always something going on. Great music. A great cultural touchstone, especially if you're Irish. If you're Irish in Chicago and you haven't been to the center, shame on you. You need to get up there. Go next weekend for IBAM. It's a celebration of Irish books, arts, and music. You can go to IBAMChicago.com and get all the information. The schedule is jam-packed with wonderful events, films, concerts, lectures, all sorts of things. So get up there and then go to irish-american.org to find out all the great things that are happening at the Irish American Heritage Center. Cliff, always good to see you. Congratulations on a great event. Good luck next weekend. I hope I see you pretty soon. And Kathy, it is always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
IBAMChicago.com, irish-american.org. That's how you find it all out. On the other side of the news, how can we have a civil discussion about the political climate and other things? We'll talk to the managing director of Living Room Conversations to find out about that after this, WGN. We must try to figure out how to converse about this, because if you've been on social media, if you've tried to have a conversation with friends, even people that you thought you really knew, family members, something like that, about the current election, I'm sure it has devolved into angry comments. If you're on social media, it's definitely devolved into name-calling and insults, just nobody wanting to hear what other people are saying. And there has to be a way to bridge that gap. Well, thankfully, someone might know how to do that. Debbie Lynn Molyneux is managing partner of Living Room Conversations, and she joins us now on WGN. Debbie Lynn, thanks for taking some time tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brian. It's a good day for this conversation.
I think so. Explain to everybody, first of all, what Living Room Conversations is, because I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Living Room Conversations is a very small group, friends and family kind of dialogue, where you intentionally bring people with diverse viewpoints together, and then you follow our structured conversation because it brings out people's personal experiences, avoids soapboxing and debates, and really helps us understand how we came to believe what we believe.
Well, and that's a problem in a lot of conversations, especially when it comes to politics. Someone will, as you say, get on their soapbox, and they're going to monopolize. And some people, they think, well, the louder I talk, the faster I talk, I'm going to be the one in charge. And that, you can never have a conversation that way, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's domination. That's not conversation. And I think it's, you know, we've been watching enough news media lately where people talk over each other, or candidates are talking over each other, and they're really not playing or even pretending to do the art of conversation, and it really is an art form. They're trying to dominate. I personally don't want to live in a world where we have domination anymore. I want to live in collaborative, healthy, functional relationships, and domination is certainly not that.
In your opinion, where did the art of conversation begin to die off? And people used to have invigorating conversations, and now, as you said, it seems like it's always one person has to dominate the other person. When did that change begin to happen?
Well, I'm going to back up just a half a second, because I think we go through cycles where debate is more relative and conversation is more vigorous. And then there's times when we're just fighting and not actually listening to each other.
Right.
And so, like, it depends on where we are in our social contract, too, because right now our last social contract that we made together as a country after World War II said that, you know, these people are more privileged than these people, and then we have fought and changed, you know, through this 80-year cycle, roughly, to this point now where that contract isn't working and everybody wants a little bit more equality and power sharing, and so we're literally in a civil war of words, if you will, right now.
Is there ever a point where we've gone too far, that we we can't get back to that civil conversation? Or do you think, especially through living room conversations, that we can bring it back around to a more civil construct?
We absolutely can bring it back around. What we have to want, though, is we have to want to have a cohesive society more than we want to be right.
Ah.
And right, and when we're fighting to be right because I need my viewpoint validated, there's not an open mind to actually hear where could my ideas be improved or where could your ideas be improved. We've lost our kind of curiosity about what is it that makes you think that when I think this.
Do you think, are there subjects, Debbie Lynn, that may be easier for that to happen? For example, you know, right now we're about to watch another debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And if you go on social media, which I'm sure you do, you're seeing there doesn't seem to be any movement between people. You've picked your side, you're entrenched on that side, and it is all about being right. Is there a way for us to maybe not change someone's mind, but at least open people up to another point of view, that maybe it's not all just black and white?
Yeah, I try to ask a lot of questions. And so right now, I mean, I have declared my support for a candidate, and my boyfriend that I live with has declared his support for a different candidate. And so we have some fairly vigorous conversations.
And, so how does that go?
I struggle against my own confirmation bias because what he believes to be true about the candidate that I've picked is not what I don't want to believe it. You know, what he believes to be true is like I just don't even want to research it or look it up.
Okay.
And so this is that point where we personally have to decide how am I going to treat you because you believe something different than I do, and how am I going to provide a healthy conversation between us so that we don't have to agree. The point isn't to agree. The point is to respect.
And see, I think that's been lost in most of the conversations. There is no mutual respect. It's not, we used to, and I'm not that guy who remember when everything was great, but it seemed like there were times when we used to try to respect somebody else's opinion, even if we didn't agree with it. That seems to have gone away.
Right. It's become a winner-take-all, you know, like we have to win at all costs. And it just kind of reminds me of growing up in a dysfunctional household where if you weren't right, you may as well just be dead because you were like the low person on the totem pole. It feels very icky, and I don't have a better word for it than that.
That works. That word works pretty well, I think. Icky. I'll go with icky.
But one of the things that we can do is you know, whether you use living room conversations or some other type of tool, there's lots of tools out there on the internet. There's a ton of people doing this type of good work of helping us rediscover our humanity about each other.
So tell us, for living room conversations, you mentioned that there's some guidelines. And I know people could use, if they go to livingroomconversations.org, they can read them there. As you said, there's other tools. But give us some of the guidelines, because even amongst friends and family members, and you mentioned between yourself and your boyfriend, there are big differences, especially when it comes to what we're going through now in the country. What kind of guidelines can we use to open up that conversation, to show mutual respect and the desire to hear somebody else's ideas?
Yeah, we have the Living Room Conversations uses 6 ground rules. And it's all stuff that we learned in kindergarten and then we forgot.
Ah.
And so.
Seems simple. How come it's not so simple?
Well, because our culture is built around being right. And so we kind of get lost in that soup of I have to be right.
Right.
And we forget about, you know, be curious and open to learning. You know, show respect and suspend judgment.
Oh, that's hard for most of us.
Yeah, how many people shut down a conversation because they just automatically judge something instead of be curious about it?
Yeah. No, that's true.
Look for common ground, appreciate differences. I mean, simple things.
Well, again, it sounds so simple. Then tell us, be purposeful and to the point. Does that mean just not to get up on a soapbox and start rambling, but if you have something to say, just say it and let somebody react to it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, for this one, for instance, we were having a conversation one time about energy energy independence for this country. And one of the women in the conversation got up and started talking about, well, you know, this could all be solved if we just worked on education. And she went off, started to go off on her soapbox about education.
Okay.
And one of the other people in the group, you know, kind of gently said, hey, Ann, can we get back to talking about energy here? Because you're right, that's really important, but we are here to talk about energy today. And so some of it is putting aside your own soapbox to really be present in the current conversation.
Now, we saw the first presidential debate and the vice presidential debate, and now we're going to see the second presidential debate in a different form. When you watch these, it's not a conversation, correct? It's just people putting forth their, this is what I believe, and they are ignoring the other person altogether.
They all have, you know, first of all, living room conversations are not debates.
Right.
So I think I'm not sure that what we're seeing on TV is a debate either, because if you're looking at formal debate, you have the pro argument, you have the, you know, the return and or the counter argument, and you kind of go back and forth, and everybody actually takes turns and they respect the time limit.
Right. Yeah, this is not happening in.
What we're seeing right now is an entertainment spectacle where everybody's trying to score points so that they can be declared the winner.
Right. Yeah, it's a sporting event more than
it's a debate. That's a sporting event.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Now, when someone goes to livingroomconversations.org and they, this is an exciting concept. I'm going to have some people over. How does it work? Do I come up with the topic? Do I say, listen, I would like to talk to somebody about, you know, education or, like you said, energy or politics? Do we come up with the topic? Do you guide us that? How does it all work?
Yeah. Well, and thank you so much for asking that question, Brian. On the website, one of our nav bars, one of our options on the navigation bar says topics. And if you hit topics, it'll come up with this, both an alphabetical list and then a jewel-looking categorizing of over 50 topics that have already been prepared.
Okay.
As well as a build-your-own kit. So if there's a topic, you know, if we haven't covered it in 50 topics, you can build your own, and we give you some pointers on how to do that.
And then you guys walk us through how to set it up, and we, you know, I would invite the people that I want to have this conversation with, and do you moderate? How does the whole process work for people?
So there's a couple things that are really unique about Living Room Conversations. The first one is that you get a lot more out of it if you intentionally have diversity in the room. So the having a co-host who has a different viewpoint on the topic than you do really deepens the conversation. But
okay.
Some people want to just invite five friends. But if you're really mindful about getting five friends who really have different viewpoints, it will provide a really rich conversation. The second thing is that there's five rounds of questions. And so everybody goes through and answers round one question, and then round two questions, and then round three. Rounds one and two are really to help us get to know each other as human beings. You know, they're easy questions like, you know, what brought you to this conversation or what interested you? What are your hopes and dreams for the future? What are your concerns? And by the time you've gone through rounds one and two, you actually already have something in common with every other person in the room.
It sounds fascinating.
When you hit round three, which is what, you know, I affectionately term the hot topic, and you start to discover and explore more of your differences, you already have some common understanding about who these people are and what their background is. And it's like magic, quite frankly.
Is there an optimum number for people to have in the conversation?
We estimate six is really the optimum number. You can have a few more people, but by the time everybody takes turns, you start adding time. So it depends on how much time you want to, you know, allocate.
And if people go to the website, livingroomconversations.org, there's ways you tell them how to create their own conversation club, or people can eavesdrop on conversations once a month. How does that work?
Yeah, we have over 20 conversations that have been recorded. We actually record and then broadcast two of those every month on different topics. And we try and link them back to the topics pages. So as we've done that topic, you can find the link right there. And then we also have a couple of teleconference ones that are videotaped, and we actually had one person who did a videotaping in their living room of their conversation. That one was really interesting on marriage equality and Mormon Church.
Very nice. Well, it's, again, I think it's fascinating. And just to recap, the main thing is try to respect somebody else's opinion. And it's not about winning and dominating. It's about actually listening, right?
Yeah, it's about actually listening and having what I call using your superpower of curiosity. It really helps suspend that judgment so you can actually have the conversation and being open-minded about it.
And I think people are afraid of being curious. They sometimes it's, you know, they're comfortable in what they know or what they think they know, mm-hmm. and it frightens them to expose themselves to something that, you know, it might go against what they've held as their belief for a long time.
It does. And it takes, one of the things I talk about with these conversations is it takes courage to go to your first one because, you know, people have this idea that it's going to be something like a debate and it's not. People leave their first conversation wishing that they had allowed more time for it because they don't want to leave.
Okay.
And ready to set up or participate in the next one because it's like treating yourself to a spa day to actually have these deep conversations about stuff that's important and have it come out well.
Very nice. Well, everybody needs to go check out livingroomconversations.org. Debbie Lynn, I appreciate the time tonight. I know you'll be watching the debate. Now, will you be watching it with your boyfriend?
We'll probably be in two different rooms of the house.
And then will there be a nice, respectful conversation afterward?
We will. We don't fight about politics at all, but I will be live blogging on Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page. So,
very nice. Well, thanks again for the time tonight, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Take care. That's Debbie Lynn Molyneaux, managing partner at Living Room Conversations. You can check it all out at livingroomconversations.org. Let's do this, and then we'll come back and start wrapping things up. The debate starts at 8 right here on 720 WGN. I haven't been able to follow what's been going on, but Donald Trump held some sort of press conference, Roger. Something's going on. I saw him sitting with some people.
At a separate site, he held a short press conference with four women who have accused Bill Clinton in the past of improprieties, sexual improprieties.
Okay.
That was at a different site from where the where the debate was. And speaking of which, here comes Bill Clinton and Mr. Trump's wife, both entering.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we don't need we'll get to all that. We'll take the play-by-play of the debate. I just didn't know what he was.
That was nice.
That'll be fun.
And he said that they would also be in the debate hall.
Oh, fantastic.
The four women that were
he
with
He knows
him.
That Hillary's running, right? All right. If you want to hear what Cody and I think of the debate as it happens, go to Facebook and go to the WGN radio page. We'll be Facebook Live on the covering the debate in the only way we know how, sarcastically and bitingly. For whoever draws our ire will be the target of said ire. So make sure you are going there after. Don't forget, I will be on for Nick D at 2 a.m. So if you can't get enough of me in these 2 hours, and then however long we do the debate, then just come back at 2 o'clock, because I'll be yapping it up from 2 to 5 in for Nick all week, which is very, very exciting. All right, let's do this. Then when we come back, we'll head to St. Louis on WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the program. Again, I will be on for Nick D starting at 2 a.m. And once the debate starts, you can watch the debate on TV or listen to it here on WGN and then go to Facebook and go to the WGN page or the Brian Noonan Show page, and you will be able to watch us comment as the debate happens. Should be very exciting. I know a lot of us are eager to see what the two candidates have to say. So we go to Washington now as we join ABC News here on 720 WGN.